I'll say it right now. I'll take the Blue Jays' money line tonight.
Wendell has it. His throw across. Rays win! Rays win! Rays win!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
We haven't done a montage open in a long time. A long time since we heard some sort of audio from the show before and rolled it into the next day. But that is the theme of the week, really, at this point. It's the theme of the week. Al's brother is ice cold. Ice cold. The epitome of a cooler picking the Jays last night. Of course they lose. Everyone knew it. And what bothered people was that he brought it local. It's one thing to pick Tampa.
He's actually pissing people off. That's all I get. Instead of, what about those Leafs? Or how's it? It's just, that guy's a lunatic. Get him off. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's pissing people off.
Yeah. He's bothering people in Toronto because the Jays were on such a heater. And then
the kiss
one
of touch
death. Of Al's brother and it's done. Yeah, the kiss of death.
Best cooler there ever was.
I was howling so bad because you knew, and he has nothing to do with the team. The team just had an off night. Pitchers were good, and for Tampa, like, it happens. Like, you know, they're, unfortunately, it just, like you say, he brings it home. He brought it here. Don't talk about the local team. Just the local team, just let them do what they're doing. And you know what? It was a bit of a hero move, and it came back to bite him in the ass. And I don't know what the solution is. Like, you keep giving chances. Like, we coined the term reset. We didn't coin it. There were other people out there in pro sports that have coined the term reset. Does he need a reset?
At this point, I think it's reasonable to suggest that. Maybe a completely reprogrammed cranium when it comes to sports and gambling and everything with the show.
Worse. But he bet against the Jays today. He was on with Cause, and he picks Tampa today.
Maybe that's a reverse jinx. He's figured this out, that is the play, because a lot of Leaf fans were suggesting that last night, that just bet against the Leafs every single night, and the Leafs might actually have some success, although the regular season is not really the concern.
No.
Although I think it will be. Like, it's not going to be a layup for the Leafs. I don't know how many teams in the NHL are going to have a layup. You know, maybe we should ask Al's brother to do that. That'll be a part of our futures bets because we will make him bet in the NHL and the NBA. Give us some guarantees. Got to give us 5 guarantees that are going to make the playoffs in the NHL and maybe 10 in the NBA. Because you can give 5 in the NBA, no problem. You know, like the Lakers are getting there, Brooklyn's getting there, Milwaukee's getting there. You know, you can run off a list of 5 teams pretty quickly, but I don't know how many in the NHL are a lock. I think Tampa's a lock. I think Vegas is a lock. Colorado's
a lock.
You go to
that Metro division, Hayes. Like, who? There's some good teams that you really like, but they're all kind of bunched together where they could be right in there or they could fall off. I don't know. There's no automatics in that Metro.
For me, the automatic lock is the Islanders. They play well. And you know what? We just sleep on them because they're not the sexiest team. But you know what they do? They got a tight system. They coach well. Their players are solid. They got depth. They got goaltending. Like, they're a really good team, but nobody, you know, pays attention. The Rangers are the sexier team. Like you say, the Metro, it's Sid. It's everyone. What's going on in Philadelphia? But the Islanders, for me, would be a lock to make the playoffs next year. Or this season, sorry. This season.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
So. I think you're right. I think it's difficult to make a pick there because there is potential for depth. And they're not overly flashy, yet it doesn't. That hasn't been a problem for them in the past. All they've done is made the playoffs and win rounds in the playoffs. Not only get to the playoffs, but perform well there. I think Carolina is actually in the same line of thinking for me. Mm-hmm. Carolina is, the last 2 years has been remarkably consistent. They won the division last year. Like, they beat Tampa.
Crazy.
Right? And they beat Florida. And Florida had a great season as well. So I think the Islanders and Carolina, who would be way down the list in terms of sexier topics and bigger hockey markets, are probably the two in that division that I would put money on. I wouldn't feel overly comfortable, but beyond that, you got Washington, you got Pitt, you got Philly. I think the Rangers have the potential to take a step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
we'll
see.
I mean, you're
it's
right.
It's not easy to pick guaranteed playoff teams.
And you start to go through teams. I've been kind of, my last three nights, I've just been grabbing a couple teams to go, I forgot that player. Like, Ryan Ellis. Where's Ryan Ellis play?
Philly.
He's in Philly.
Philly,
yeah.
I know. Like, you're like, oh, I forgot Ryan Ellis is in Philly. Like, Philly actually revamped their D, you know, a lot. Like, I believe Carolina has five new defensemen as well, which is, this is a team that was really successful, but Dougie Hamilton out, I mean, Tony D'Angelo in, Ethan Bear in, Gardner is out for the season.
Like, sounds like Gardner could be done for his career. I hope not. Knock
what is the injury? Is it back or something?
Yeah, I think he's been dealing with a back injury since he was in Toronto, like a few years ago. Remember, he barely played in the playoffs that last year he was here.
Yeah.
And he was really hurting at that point, and he has been the past couple of years in Carolina. You take a year off when you're into your 30s, no guarantees you're coming back.
I've got one crazy one, and I know we should get into it at Al's brother, but I'm sniffing on Vegas and not loving everything I see there.
Really?
Okay, tell me if I'm wrong. Marc-Andre Fleury, Robin Leonard. This year,
radio
Robin Leonard.
Radio yourself right here.
Robin Leonard. I know I could. I'm not. I'm just saying there could be a step back. I don't know.
Okay,
I mean,
run that, through that team, it. Run
I'm just saying, it. Take a look at that group. Like, they are got fantastic D. They've got fast, dynamic forwards. In net concerns me. You go from a stud position, Fleury Hall of Famer, Leonard puts up stats, to Leonard, who isn't, I don't see him as a 60-game starter. He's more of a tandem guy. And guess who his backup is? Larry Brassois. So that's a big drop-off, right? Like,
that's a big drop-off.
Between Fleury and Leonard,
and Brassois,
to Leonard and Laurent Brassois, who statistically 2 years ago had a really good season, but bookmarked in between two seasons that weren't as good. So, you know, if there's a step back in net there, Vegas could drop off. That's only my small prediction.
What I would counter with is the division they play in.
Correct.
Where that
correct.
Always Pacific, has to come back into the fold, where Arizona is going to be horrendous.
They're trying.
Anaheim's not going to be good. I think Anaheim's still years away from turning that corner. The Kings, I could see the Kings taking a step forward, but their goaltending still is incomplete. You know, uncertain, Jonathan Quick, and what else is going on
Cal
there?
Yeah, Cal Peterson. Yeah, they're in a transition. Yep.
They're in a transition at this point. San Jose, again, has not been very good for a couple of years. The Canadian teams out west, I think Edmonton will do enough if their goaltending holds up. If Mike Smith can replicate what he did a year ago, they'll get in. But that's the only counter with Vegas is, I think it's a valid point, Noodles. It 100% is. It's a fact. The goaltending is nowhere close to as prominent.
Just on paper. You know, Robin
no, but
Leonard.
Not even, forget on paper, just fact. Like, Brassois to Fleury. Fleury won the Vezina.
I know. Like, they took a Vezina's goaltender out of their lineup. And I know he's 37, so he's not.
But still, he's a stud. Yeah.
And just everything about Fleury there. Like, he had that magical, he was made for that Vegas team. And every the time he seemed to go in the net, he was unbelievable. Say what you want about his playoffs last year, whatever, but he was. He was loved in that city quickly, man, and he was awesome every time he went in there.
You just wonder if there's ever a reset. I mean, they've got studs there. Like, I love Mark Stone. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to do my top 50 list. I'm trying to find where he would fall because he's a hell of a player.
Like, yeah, he's obviously in the top 50, but is he in the top 25?
Right, he's a tween. Like, he's one of those tweeners. Like, I think he's in between superstar and, you know, kind of like star or upper echelon. He's a hell of a player. I just don't know where to, you know, those are the dilemmas that we start to dig into.
Yeah, presents itself every single year. You know, the Quizmaster sent out the email this past week, and the deadline is around the corner, and I have to believe McDavid will be a unanimous pick at number one. I have to believe that.
I can't guarantee it.
You know, well, last year he wasn't. MacKinnon got a lot of votes as number one. Because of the playoff MacKinnon had the year before.
Correct.
So I don't know if that's a lock. He will be number one on my list. If it's not unanimous, I think it'll be close. I'm assuming MacKinnon will be number two on that list.
Yeah.
I would think so. But, you know, you, Noodles, you beat this drum every single year. Vasilevsky, all he does is look like a superstar in net. And I don't know where I – should he not be in the top five?
I have him, best
goalie in the league.
I have him in my top five, but it is a very soft top five right now as I start to play around. You know,
right.
It's like chess pieces or whatever, Scrabble pieces. You just start, ah, that guy looks good there. You, oh, forgot about, yeah, like where's Kucherov fall? What is he it, as right? good as anybody?
If he's healthy, if he plays like he did in the playoffs, he's in the top 10.
Right. I mean,
you're just doing sure. what they bring to the table. That Vasilevsky should be right behind McKinnon at number three.
Like, that's kind of, I mean, that's the
like,
thing.
Seriously.
People go, well, you're a goalie hugger. Okay, well, that's fair. But if you're building a team or you need, you know, you need goaltending, like how much do you value it? That's why I almost feel like you should take the goaltenders out, have a separate list.
I agree.
There.
That would make it a lot easier for people. Because it's not like this is, you know, brain surgery anyway.
No, but it's how you value it, right? It's how we value it. And sometimes, I don't know, I've talked to Ray, I've talked to you guys, like we'll build our list and go, oh, you know what, I forgot to throw a goalie in here. Let's just start sprinkling him in throughout the,
I
you know,
yeah, the
16, throw a guy here. Yeah. Like you.
Dude, and I hate that top 50. I already did mine. It took me 8 minutes.
So who did you forget? Because you forgot somebody.
No, I made a point because it's embarrassing when the quizmaster, he'll email me back and say, you forgot a prominent player. And then I'll mix something up, take a guy out, and he'll say, yeah, you've only got 47 players now. And but I made sure I had 50. And
no big omissions.
Dude, yeah, let's be real here. The only thing that matters is the top 15 players. After that, they're all interchangeable.
Right.
You sprinkle them in, you interchange them. I mean, that's all that matters. Who's the top 15? Who cares what you have after that?
But you're right. Like where here's.
Do you take value in that haze? Do you take value in 17?
I don't know why 17 is. I'm not going to look down on 17. If you're ranking someone the 17th best player in the league this upcoming season, that's a pretty significant compliment.
Hell of a player.
I understand what you're saying in terms of like the arbitrary lines. And you always, we all do it. We've been doing this for years. You get to the 40s and you're like, oh, I got to squeeze 15 guys in here. I have 10 spots.
Right.
So why would this guy be out and that guy?
And then you'll always find a guy that's like 17 or up there, and you're like, okay, that jigs everything down.
Well,
right.
you forget somebody, and then you forget somebody, and you're like, okay, this guy, maybe the guy had an off year, and you're like, okay, he's healthy again, or you know, like that. That's the type of stuff. Like the guys who are I struggle with are like the Mark Stones, who you value so much, but maybe he's not. You know, in that, you know, one level that you think. Mm-hmm. Where's Braden Point? Braden Point, top 15?
It's
like,
a good
oh, my God. He's a top 6 player in the league. I think I had him in the top 5.
I understand that. But then what happens is in that top 5, somebody has to come out.
Right.
Okay, but there's, know, like, where, there's where it gets kind of dicey, Jamie, because he is a top 5 for me after what he does in the playoffs. Is he going to be in the top 5 in points? I'm not sure about that. But that guy destroys the playoffs like no other in the league. So where does he fit?
It.
He morphs into the best player in the league when the puck drops for playoffs. So where does that slot him, Hayes?
Well, and that's why it's arbitrary. I mean, ultimately, you got to make up your own guidelines. And let's be honest, he's still a great regular season player, right?
Sure.
Like he's capable of scoring 90, 95 points and giving upwards of 40 goals. That's a great player, two-way guy. You know, Bergeron was in the similar vein for years. Like, where do you place Patrice Bergeron? Where, as an overall player, the guy's an absolute stud.
Right.
And yet it's difficult to put him ahead of a Matthews or a Draisaitl. Meanwhile, in a big game, Game 7, who's probably going to play better? It's probably Bergeron that would do that. Or someone you would trust more because he's done it before and he's done it in the past.
No, you're right.
So,
like,
you know, point is difficult. It's just, when you look at it, McDavid's coming up, McKinnon's coming up. I think Matthews is somewhere in there.
Yep.
But if Vasilevsky's in there,
but then
all of a sudden you start running out of space. And you're
well,
like,
here's a crazy one. How,
a lot of
how,
great players.
How high do you value a defenseman? Victor
exactly.
Hedman get love there. All of a sudden, you know, is it Dougie Hamilton? Did he climb up? Like, Adam Fox gets zero love.
Right.
Zero love. The
when's
guy won
the Norris, and where's he going to be? He'll be ranked
zero
like 43rd on the list.
Like, but that's the thing. Like,
not
it,
for me.
Ooh,
you got
I like
Foxy
that.
Somewhere higher up the list.
I think I got Foxy 20 something.
That's pretty reasonable. I mean, listen, he won the Norris.
Dude, he won the Norris with Victor Hedman as a dominant defenseman in the league. And I'm actually super jacked that that kid won the Norris, where you can go to the theory of Hedman just deserves it every year. Like, back when the big dogs were doing it, Lidstrom, Pronger, Niedermeyer, or you can think outside the box and say, was this guy, if you watch the Rangers enough and what he brings to the table, and it was a lot about points for him. He's a point-producing defenseman. But they determined that he was the best defenseman. And I like that. I like thinking outside the box.
Well, it's a great exercise, and I always struggle once you get, you know, what is the difference between 38th and 42? It's not. It's who you value more, who you think you forgot. And then, you know what, at 50, there's always four choices, and you flip a coin.
Always.
I'll be honest, I know my 50th pick last year. I know it, and it was a coin flip for me. And it put Nick Ehlers there at 50.
Well, I was just thinking, is William Nylander going to be in the top
50? To be honest, guys, I'll be full transparency. It was between Nylander and Ehlers.
Yeah.
That was my 50th pick last year. I chose Ehlers.
Ehlers
had a better season. But
better
I think
season,
that I've said this a million times. I think they are almost the closest to each other as far as players. If you
crazy.
Look at their
they're
point production.
One behind
right.
each other in the
eight
draft.
Eight and ninth.
Too.
Like right. You look at their games played, their point production. Like, it was a coin flip. I think Ehlers has a little bit more bite in certain situations. I think Nylander's got, you know, a little different dynamic as far as puck distributing, but they're both fantastic players. But that's
probably appropriately slotted, like around where they should be, fighting for a space in the 40s.
I got lucky that Ehlers had a better season than Nylander technically last year, but could be different this year. You know what I mean? So it's
right, and maybe they both deserve to be in there. And then there's every year there's surprises. That's the beauty of sports, and that's the beauty of this league. There are certain guys where you know what you're going to get. They may not slot appropriately. Kucherov may not be the seventh best player in the league. Maybe he's 11th, but he's not going to be the 83rd best player. You know, if he's healthy. Like, there are certain guys at the top where you pretty much know what you're going to get, but every year there is turnover. Every year, like, who's to say? I don't see this happening because of the nature of the team or what's going on. But what if Rasmus Dahlin has that massive step this year and just has a rock star season? And at the end of the year, like, I don't think he'll be in the top 50. Who's voting for Dahlin in the top 50 based on what you've seen so far?
He wouldn't be in the top 100.
Based on the way he's been playing, but based on expectation. It's not out of the realm of possibility. The guy
guy was talked about as the next Swedish great defenseman, and I know Buffalo has been an absolute dumpster fire, but there are some nights watching that kid where if you cover the World Juniors, you would have seen him in Buffalo where it was just everybody was – their jaw was on the floor when that guy was on the ice, and you're like, this guy's a Lindstrom with more offensive flair. And
right.
I don't know. It's just there's some times where it's not even there offensively, defensively, and the team is a big part of it, but he's got to own some of it because it's just not good.
And I struggle with guys like Miro Heiskanen. Like, Heiskanen's a hell of a player. Does he?
Right.
You know, does he?
But I got to admit, I don't know if he's on my list.
But that's the thing. He's down in Dallas. You know, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin have kind of, you know, they've fallen off the radar type of thing, and both of them could have massive seasons again. But, like, you know, you forget sometimes about organizations that aren't in your face. That's, you got to go digging, you know. And I look at a guy like Heiskanen, who he's a hell of a player, but, you know, how do I measure him up against a Dahlin or, you know, guys that are in that age group? And it's a great exercise.
It's ultimately a projection, right?
It's a
fun exercise. It's kind of a rite of passage around here in September. Like, that means the hockey season is around the corner, and that means coaches are gearing up, including our boy Matt Stajan, who was announced recently as an assistant coach with the Calgary Hitmen. He's back on the bus in junior up the
dub. Dude, no kidding. What are you – I got to ask him, like, just as buddies. Like, I got to do the old congrats, but what are you thinking? Like, you just retired from hockey. You get to stay home. Now you're riding across the Western Hockey League.
Brandon. 12-hour bus ride into Brandon.
Right. Like, and he's in Ontario.
Okay,
Noodles. He doesn't know
you know the WHLers. They think they're the toughest human beings on earth. They're like, you guys think a trip from Ottawa to Guelph is tough? Try going to Victoria to Brandon in the middle of the night.
It is. It's obnoxious because nobody wants to do it. Like, ask Stage if he wants to get up on a Friday morning and drive, 7-8 hours to Saskatoon, play there Friday night, Saturday in Moose Jaw, and then Sunday afternoon in Brandon. And then
what about a private bird for Stage? What if he says, fellas, I'll meet you there. Private bird there, private bird when the road trip ends. I don't think that's out of the question.
I...
It's kind of tough.
Doubt it's going to happen, but you never know with him. You never. Yeah. I mean, I think he's collecting pucks after practice. He's the assistant coach. He's
If guys are
looking to run drills after practice, Stage has got to be sticking around. I don't. Does he have whistle access as the assistant coach? I don't think. How many assistants have a whistle during practice?
Dude, they only use the whistle when they're doing specialty skill drills. They're basically told to flip pucks around the corner, collect them, get the drills ready.
What about the salad situation? Will he wear a hat on the bench or he's just...
What if they make him wear a helmet for practice?
That's right.
I always tell people that. I'm like, I'll go and help your kids out, but I'm not wearing a helmet looking like a loser out there.
I know. That is a relatively new development, right? Where if you're on the ice, you got to wear a helmet and it's all about...
No way.
Who's liable and, yeah, I'm with you, though. If you're out there helping – now, this is junior hockey, but if you're out there with kids, I'm not – no helmet all day.
No, I'm not looking like a loser with a ball cap and a helmet over top of it or – it's just no way.
But I don't know what the rules are in the WHL.
It's minor hockey. I think in minor hockey you have to wear a helmet,
wear the bucket in practice.
Yeah, in minor hockey you do for sure. Yeah, I've helped out with some practices in the past, and you're out there with a helmet on.
The coach again, hey, just
the coach.
Here, help,
oh, yeah.
helping
just working
coach.
On drills, working on drills. Actually, you know, it was the most embarrassing scene ever. I had not skated in like a decade. My sister was coaching this team, girls hockey. She asked me to come out and help. I hadn't put my skates on in 10 years. I had old Graf skates. Remember the Graf?
Oh, those are heavy.
Sick skates.
Yeah, so sick. But they were tight. I didn't wear socks when I played. I was on the ice for 15 minutes. I had to get off the ice. I couldn't stand. Like, it was so embarrassing.
Oh, dude, if you balloon up and you try to put your wheels on, I had to buy new skates. I went to play it against sports, and I had to buy an extra size and a half.
So did I. I did the exact same thing. I bought monster skates.
Yes. Dude, they felt like skis on my feet. I'm like, I used to wear an 8 1/4 Bauer.
Yeah.
Play it against sports. Give me a 9 1/2 wide.
Same, dude. Same. I don't want to feel like this, you know, the screws in the side of the skate. Like, I don't know how I wore those. But, well, because I was in shape and I put them on every day. So they'd form to your feet.
Right.
But now, like, these things were just sitting in the basement for years. And my feet, I was a moose, and I put these, I had like feet migraines. I'm like, this is embarrassing. I can't be on the ice. My shoes off. I was like Hitch. I was yelling out practice from the bench.
Standing on the bench. I love it.
Yelling out drills. All right. Matt Stajan coming up. We got MJ still to come. Want to get into some Leaf talk today. We'll track the Jays. We'll get into what happened with Al's brother last night. We will have him back in. He can explain it. He's going to have to make another pick tonight. Right, he's back on the clock tonight. He's got to pick a winner. Has to pick a winner.
And Maul's already told me that he knows a guy in the building. If Al's brother can't make the pick Thursday, Maul's knows a guy named Miguel.
Miguel,
really?
Miguel will be doing the pick on Thursday.
Okay. Miguel's amigo? Miguel's frere?
I don't know. Maul just said, I got a guy that'll just make the pick. He knows about sports gambling. His name's Miguel.
Miguel.
So I'm like, okay, Miguel's in.
All right. I like it. Okay. Well, this is something that could be happening. We'll find out. Maybe it doesn't have to happen if Al's brother can find a winner tonight. So that more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. Jerry's percentages in an hour. Jerry is back. And I am looking forward to hearing from Jerry. We have not caught up with him in a long time. Long time. So we'll see what kind of mood he's in and see what he's got on his mind this afternoon.
Oh,
that's coming up in about an hour. Very exciting.
I'm loving it.
MJ will join us later on as well. So our boy Matt Stajan, who played 1,000 games in the league, longtime Leaf, longtime Flame, Ontario boy. He knows what it's like to drive from Belleville to Ottawa. Belleville to Peterborough, you know, that was about it. The longest trip probably from him playing in Belleville, maybe the Sioux, possibly Plymouth. But now he's the assistant coach of the Calgary Hitmen, which means, what are we talking, Noodles, like 3 hours to the closest game? 4 hours?
Yeah, I mean, Cranbrook could be 3.5. I think Medicine Hat would be in Medicine Hat's like 1:45, 2 hours. Lethbridge is 1:45. Actually, Medicine Hat a little bit longer, but Lethbridge would be 2 hours.
Two hours, okay.
Especially the bus driver, if he's slow, maybe
just
2 hours.
Just taking it easy. Yeah, because exactly. Belleville to Kingston would be, what, 40 minutes, maybe? Like when,
not even, dude.
Not even, and that was right around the
corner.
Oh,
I forgot. Red Deer's in the league, too, so that's only an hour and a bit. Up
oh, that's road, not so. Bad, then. Okay.
No, but then he's going to Brandon and Moose Jaw, and then, like, oh.
He's back on the buses out in the dub. Here he is, Matt Stajan. Are you prepared for this new lifestyle?
I am. It's not that bad. I guess I don't know yet, but one fact we can take into consideration is it's a COVID year, so we're actually not playing the other conference. So we're staying within our conference. So we'll have some long trips to Winnipeg. That'll be the longest, but we're playing our division a little more this year. So that'll be a little transition, ease the transition for myself.
The question is why, though? You got all the money in the world. You could kick back. You could go to Bahamas in the winter. You were overpaid for at least 8 years. So things are good. Why do you want to ride on a bus? Tell me why. That's the only thing I want to know.
Just love of the game, old dog. Honestly, I was going into, like, you know, kids were back in school. I was ready just to help coach, you know, 5-6-year-olds and my son's team, and, you know, hit the ski slopes and the mountains out here and do that all year. But unfortunately, Joel Otto had some problems with his hips and wasn't able to do the day-to-day. So I got a call to the blue, and this opportunity kind of presented itself, and had a long chat. I couldn't just do nothing and continue to do nothing. I felt like I had to start doing something, and me and Katie talked about it and thought we should explore it. And before you know it, I was in an interview, and the rest is history. So, you know, it's something I've always thought about, staying in the game, how I want to do it. But I think coaching was always something I want to try and get to know and learn at a higher level. And this is kind of a perfect spot for me. I can draw it up. It's where we live. I don't have to move to a smaller town right here in Calgary. And then you just kind of make do with the bus trips. And, you know, it'll be nice, you know, some bonding with the staff and the team here and you know, back where it all started.
We're chatting with Matt Stajan, who is taking a job, the assistant coach out in Calgary with the Calgary Hitmen, and longtime Leaf, longtime Flame, friend of the show. We love having you on, buddy. And we look forward to seeing how this is going to play out for you, because you obviously were a junior star in Belleville, and you played for the world junior team. You played in that game that went all the way to the gold medal against the Russians in Halifax. So I'm sure there are kids on your team, teenagers on the team, who are going to ask you about your own experiences. What kind of stories do you intend on telling about your growth in the OHL and the CHL and how it helped you make it to the NHL and everything that's come since?
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm going to try and share all my experiences, and that's one thing you learn as you play for a long time. It's all about relationships and building trust with these guys and helping them. You know, I think my story can help a lot of these guys. I was never a top guy like Old Dog, first overall to junior, and just had it paved for me. I had to work, and had a tough first year in junior, and you know, I had to work to get on the list. I wasn't in the prospect game, and had a lot of people doubting me, and you got to find your way and prove people wrong. And I was fortunate enough to kind of hit my stride and take off there in my second year in Belleville, and led to, you know, the rest of my career. So just helping the guys, that's what even late in my career, that's kind of the approach I took going to the rink. You know, you worry about your day to day, but also you want to help these young guys. And even though they're taking your job, you want to help them and guide them down the right path, because it's about, you know, setting them up and the team for success.
That's where I was going to go, Stage, is, you know, you just recently retired, and you see the, we'll call it the new athlete, you know, the evolved athlete. Guys are in amazing shape. They're more skill-orientated. You know, how much different is, I guess, your trip back to junior than what you remember it as a player? I mean, the players are just so different and wired differently nowadays, aren't they?
Oh, it's completely different. It's been like 5-6 days, and you know, they have strength coaches, mental training coaches, you know, the video that they're going to watch, you know, the stuff they eat, everything's right there for them. It wasn't like that when I was going through it, that's for sure. So it's evolved as the game has, at every level. And, you know, these kids come in and, you know, they're treated like pros, and it's an exciting, time for them. And I'm still learning. I've, you know, good coaching staff here with Steve Hamilton and Trent Gasson to learn from. And that's part of it too. I wanted to kind of learn this side of the game and how it works and bring whatever I can bring. And we'll see if I enjoy it. If it's something I want to keep pursuing down the future, you know, you don't know until you try it. But I've always felt like, you know, this is something I'd want to give a shot. And I would like to see how it goes.
Are you aware of, like, the communication with these athletes, Chewy, where it's like if you tell someone to go to hell, they're going to call their parents and call their agents? So, like, you have to understand that it's a little more fluffy than when you were in junior. The way you communicate, it's way different. Every kid thinks he's Wayne Gretzky. It's outrageous.
Oh, well, yeah, you learn how the games change at the NHL level. I remember, Doug, I remember you when you first retired, you were trying to be an agent or something, and you were trying to fluff kids up at Wings games. You'd be like, Stage, should you come meet this kid after at the Joe after practice? And I'd meet you down there. But yeah, for sure, that's all changed. So it's, you know what, assistant coach, I can be more buddy. I'll leave that to Hammy to deal with, you know, with the tough. But you know what? You have to be real with them and at every level and any job. And, you know, people who are honest and real with you, that's what helps you the most. So I don't think I'll have any other approach than to go about it that way.
Yeah, that's the role of the assistant coach, right? I don't think that's changed, is being the good cop, so to speak, because we all remember the head coaches losing their minds. I mean, that'd be happening in minor hockey. You'd have the head coach losing his mind. He'd be 12 years old. Need to screw up a drill and freak out. And I'm curious if you're going to get to that point, Stage. Like, is that the hope in the future? You get behind the bench if you love it and you want to be a head coach? And if so, I mean, how do you think that would potentially change your personality? I mean, would you be comfortable in a role like that, having to freak out from time to time and keeping it on the rails, of course, but sometimes that comes with the gig.
Yeah, I've honestly, I'm sure we'll see how it goes. Obviously, you set goals for yourself, and I'm just, you know, one day at a time. I know it's so cliche-ish and keep learning, but yeah, that's something you have to do if you're gonna be successful. You got to keep guys honest and be hard on certain guys, and even in the NHL, you know, you have to hold each other accountable as teammates. So it's on a different level as a coach for sure, and you got to know how to go about it. There's the right way and a wrong way, or there's different ways of going about it, the way I should say it. But yeah, it's something I want to kind of learn and see if it's in me and if it's something I want to pursue, you know, here in the future and as I keep going. But right now, I just want to help these kids kind of learn how it goes, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
It's basically about developing your own coaching style. Can you see, I mean, you know, if you're excited behind the bench, are you going to be a guy like Pat Quinn screaming at the ref the whole game? Or like, can you see yourself, you know, getting that wired up, or you just kind of wade your way into it?
Yeah, I have no clue. I was pretty happy as a player, like, you know, being a centerman, always on the linesman a bit, but, you guys are going to have to call me mid-season and I'll give you an update, because I'm still, like, worried. I got to make sure the dome looks good on the bench with the suit on and all that stuff. And I'm just first preseason game is this weekend. So I'll feel my way into it. But yeah, I don't think I'll be the coach that's just on the refs all game. I think that usually doesn't work.
Chewy, when you played with Hayes, is there one thing you could take away from that experience that you've held with you for your career and that you could possibly pass on to one of these youngsters?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Hasey grinded and had a pretty good junior career out of nowhere. Like, he was a walk-on at the Barry. Like, the one thing I remember about Hasey was, he just had ugly style. Like, he had those tongues out flopping around, and he thought he was like the quarterback on the PP. And it's just like, you got to look the part, Hazy. You can't just try and play the part. But no, he was a smart player, though. He navigated for, no, he didn't have the best speed. So he was smart enough to get by. So
that's all it was, buddy. Hockey IQ. Just, hockey.
Exactly. IQ. Takes you a long way. It took me a long way, right? Right, Old Dog? That's why, you know, you keep getting those contracts. When you're a smart player, you figure it out. And
I guess, buddy. I guess.
I thought he was going to say he was good in the room or he ran the stereo or something like that. But
no. I never had a letter on anything. It was just kind of there for the most part. But, yeah, it worked out. And it worked out for everyone, including yourself, Stage, making it all the way back full circle in the CHL as an assistant coach with the Calgary Hitmen. And you said you got the suits ready. And are you an earpiece guy? Do they have the earpieces in the dub? Or how does that work with the assistant coach?
I think home games, I'm trying to figure that out. There's a lot to wrap my head around. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm sure I'll send you a pic once there's a pic of me back there, you know, giving a guy, you know, how to score a goal. I'll be like, go dangle out there and do your thing. But you know what they say, it's as close as you can get to feeling the hype and the energy of a game from a player. So I'm excited about that, to get that energy back and that, you know, the nerves and everything that a game brings, because I think you don't get closer than, you know, outside of playing, than being on the bench with the guys. So I'm excited about that.
Well, the reffing's a little bit different in, as you go farther down in the league, so you are going to be perplexed a night or two when you're seeing what the hell's going on out there. You might have a Jimmy Playfair episode. Wasn't that in Abbotsford, I think, where Jimmy...
it's the WHL, Chewy. You know that, right? The toughest league that's ever been invented, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is not the just wussy OHL. It's
don't
the
tell
dub,
anyone
yeah.
you're from the O. It's like telling people you're from Toronto. Yeah. You can't do it.
Tell them you're from north of Moose Jaw. That's where you grew up, and you might fit in.
Yeah. I know, that was always the talk, always the talk. The dub's the toughest, so I haven't seen any fights yet, so we'll see. I think the whole game's changed in the landscape, but I'll still have the OHL's back on that one, definitely, because that's always an ongoing debate in every NHL locker room as you go.
Well, we wish you nothing but success. We'll be tracking you guys. We're looking forward to seeing how it all plays out there in Calgary, and you know we'll be chasing you down the road to get more of an update and see how it all plays out, buddy. So good luck with it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Anytime. Good to hear you guys back.
You
Take
got
care.
It. There he is. Matt Stajan, our good buddy. Your former teammate of all three of ours. Only guy we can really say that about.
Yeah.
You know, across the board. And assistant coach in Calgary. So we'll see. We'll see what comes with that.
Line mate. I love playing with that guy. Me, him, and Alex Steen. I was right wing, Steiner on left, Maddie was center, and we would just dummy other teams' third line.
He was a smart player. Stage was a really
Fergie,
really
Fergie
smart
didn't
player.
Like that, though. That
well, the assistant general manager of Arizona.
Oh, yes. Let's take a break.
I can either confirm or deny that.
And, Hazy, you can come with that live update after the break.
Okay. Breaking news. It is significant. We'll tell you about it next. Jerry's percentages in 45 minutes. We look forward to hearing from Jerry. He's coming up at 5:30. Mike Johnson will join us later this afternoon because we've got to get his expert analysis on this big news out of Arizona, which is a hockey hotbed and a team that may surprise people this year. And I think it's actually more likely now that this news is out that that's exactly what's going to happen, because they have an ace in the hole. It goes by the name of John Ferguson Jr., has been locked up as a long-term assistant GM. He's on a long-term deal.
I can either confirm or deny that.
Well, I can't confirm this one, Fergie. You're locked in, buds. You're down there in Arizona doing big things. What a get for the Coyotes.
What do you I just don't get it. You know he was based oh God.
He hasn't aged at all.
He looks good.
Yeah, he still looks the same.
Listen, we all have there's a reason why, and I 100% respect the background between JFJ and UO. Like, I have a few people in hockey. I think there's maybe 10 bad people in hockey. You know, that I've come across.
Or every player has a version of their 10 people.
Every player, that's what it is. Every person has a version of their 10 bad people in hockey. JFJ's not one of mine. But, you know, I would name people that you probably came across with. You're like, hey, guy was treated me well. I mean, we had JFJ in St. Louis. I think he was maybe an AGM or ran our minor league team. So I didn't see him that much, but he was always nice to me. You had just a terrible history with him, the way that he treated you, which sucks.
Well,
that sucks.
Just, Look, the guy's not the worst guy in the world. He just did some really stupid things, from firing some really quality people.
Yeah.
Like Scotty McKay is just a great guy, one of the best trainers in the NHL. He let him go. Some real stupid stuff with me, my shoulder, made me play hurt. I don't know why I did that, but he did some moronic things. And if you talk to anybody else that was around the organization, they would agree that there was just some stupid stuff going on. So not the worst guy in the world. I don't hate the guy. Just some real stupid stuff. But by the way, you know he got to squeeze in Boston. Somebody didn't want him around there.
Yeah, what happened there? He's been in Boston forever. Like,
I guarantee
Don
somebody
guy.
Said, we're going to put the squeeze on this guy, and he's going to go somewhere else.
Well, and Arizona is not a team that –
Dude,
really
they're
going to
be. You
prospects.
Talk. You always talk about Buffalo and Detroit Hayes. Arizona is going to be the worst team in the league.
But they want to be.
Good.
Like they've actually.
I'm just saying they will be by far. As bad as you think Buffalo is going to be, Arizona is the worst. They don't have any good players except Chychrun on defense. Who the hell else is on that team? Tell me.
Yeah, I mean they're paying.
Clayton Keller.
I was gonna say Clayton Keller was supposed to be, but he's never developed into what they thought.
And
he
who
was
the hell
be.
Is he gonna play with?
Well, they've
him
got
and Chychrun. There's two players right there, real good players.
Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, Roussel. Like they got the guys from Vancouver. Like
yeah, they've got some cast-offs.
What they did is they took some contracts, and then Bill Armstrong he was left with the cupboards bare, and I know his job is to rebuild it, whether he does it or not, but he went and got a bunch of draft picks, something crazy, like 3 first-rounders next year, 5 second-rounders, and like 5 third-rounders in what's supposed to be a very deep draft.
Yeah, now, it's the ultimate blow it up and rebuild and start from scratch and scorched earth. I mean, you can throw everything at it, and every single label applies.
Right.
But I think a couple of things have developed over the last few years that really say a lot about the new NHL and say a lot about the cap system and a lot about expansion, where we just listed 3 teams. None of them were named Seattle. Like Buffalo, Detroit, and Arizona, I think will all be worse than Seattle. Seattle is an expansion team. Like we're so jaded because of the success of Vegas. We have forgotten about Columbus and San Jose and Ottawa when they came into the league, and Minnesota,
right.
Sorry, Noodles,
yep.
Minnesota
yep,
when they came
right.
into the league. Like, there was a long list of expansion teams that came in and were fully expected to get their doors blown off for years.
Right.
And now Seattle, that is not the expectation, and it's a warranted expectation because they are a legitimately better team. They got good players. They got some good depth.
Yes.
Yet,
now, the expansion rules are different this
totally
last
different,
two
of course.
Times around. So you
of
can
course.
Get you can actually get more closer players to the core than when myself, like Minnesota and Columbus came in. It was, you know, it was farther, you know.
And that's
those
the biggest difference, of course. And that's necessary and important context here. That
right.
It is a completely different system. I understand that. But
right.
Imagine if you're in Arizona, Buffalo, Detroit, you're a fan of one of those teams. You're like, man, Seattle has not even played yet, and no one thinks we're better than them. Like, no one on earth thinks
right.
we're better than a team that literally hasn't played yet in the league. And I think it says something about the expansion process. It also says something about how awful these teams are, because when Vegas came in, we were all ignorant to it all, myself
right.
included. I just assumed, and maybe it was a lazy take. It was, in retrospect. I'm like, I assume they'll be last because they're an expansion team, and I didn't know who William Karlsson was.
We just
I didn't
pay attention. We
didn't
pay
attention to it, and yet it wasn't the case. You know,
no.
Obviously, as we know now, and no one is willing to concede that Seattle is anywhere close to as bad as Arizona is. They're in the same division.
Yeah.
And Arizona, I don't think has a shot.
Beating
Seattle in the standings.
No, I don't think so. I think they want to bottom out the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a scenario where if the goalie plays well, you're out. Like, I feel like they're not done there. Like, I think they want to,
yeah,
you know.
Jamie, they've done, like, it's just a joke. They're going to get better, then they're going to get some players in there, and then they're going to get better, and they're not going to want to pay them, and they won't have a build. Who the hell knows where they're going after next
year? Well, you're right. There are so many uncertainties. But, like, that's the one thing that – you know, I can't sit there and judge Bill Armstrong for his body of work. He literally got handed.
I like Billy Armstrong. He's a great guy and a great hockey guy.
Right, but he got handed a mess, and then he had no draft picks too because of the tampering stuff. Like scorched earth before.
Yeah, it is, and it's the same. Buffalo is the same thing in the East. You know, like that. That's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with two organizations that try to find rock bottom, and they can't find it. Like, they keep digging for rock bottom, and they're like, oh, I guess it's worse. Let's throw this guy overboard.
I know we got to go. I think Detroit might surprise.
Maybe a little bit better.
I think they've got some young kids there that it'll be interesting to see what they do with.
Yeah, they'll be better. I think that division is just so top-heavy. They're going to be tough. Right. You got to play Tampa four or five times, Boston four or five times, Leafs four or five times. That's going to be tough on them. But, yes, maybe they do take a step forward. Says something about Ottawa as well, where Ottawa's not included in this scorched earth, awful, horrendous conversation anymore. And they were this time last year, you know, or the year before. Hour two coming up. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.